Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us tonight. Friend, no matter if you are the teacher or the student, the mother or the government official, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're a leader in that purpose. Our goal here is simple, is to inspire and equip leaders to help them lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue in his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, broken, isolated people in building a wall in ancient Jerusalem and essentially building a way of life. He cued them up. It's C-U-E. It is C is for common ground. It's really what can we agree on. It's really the why. U, the unified thought. What vision can we share? It's the what. What are we going to do? And then E, equally yoked, is what is the game plan? What success looks like? What's my role in that? It's really how we go together and get something done. And so Q leadership integrates from a broad sense biblical principles of leadership and using Nehemiah as a model in helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you, discipleship. So in our Q leadership, the axis of leadership is two things, trust and discipleship. And so as we always do, we start our show with a word of prayer, so we'll do that. So, Lord, you are a powerful, loving, merciful God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, continue to lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all those that are serving you. And, Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild and our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things. Give you the glory and the honor and serving this generation through Q. So, Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Lord, please use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align and equip and transform new leaders and for your glory. So help us. Help others hear the call, receive the call, and help us to raise some transformational leaders and some gatekeepers in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our show is about having a dialogue, having a conversation about leadership in God's Word. Equip leaders with a roadmap in order to tap into those two things of building faith and building discipleship. And what we try to do is highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference that can testify to God's goodness. And our show is a lot of things. And our show is not to criticize, but to shine a light in some truth and in love. It is not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. It's not to really focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but really get to the root of the problem and kind of treat the infection, not the runny nose, so to speak. So today's show, as with any day, let's be open that we hear the Lord and not me, have the right questions, and no matter what the differences are, remember that this life is about love and surrender, and there may be difference of opinion, but let us do what a true transformation leader said. Let us agree without being disagreeable. So let's begin to be thought partners, and I'd love to continue to chime in as we always do. So our show tonight, you know, we're in the middle of the night back on April 15th, more than 300 girls were kidnapped from a school in Chibok, Nigeria. You know, while this is a horrific crime carried out by an Islamic militant group called Boko Haram, it went largely unreported for a couple of weeks, and you probably heard a whole lot about this. We just got to look at the facts real quick. We already cast, I'm sure everyone's heard about it. But why did Boko Haram attack the school? This group been terrorizing northeastern Nigeria, which is really half Muslim, half Christian, for the last 5 years. This group has a goal of really establishing an Islamic state governed by strict Sharia law. And ideology opposed Western culture and the education of girls. Combining those two really sparked this kidnapping. The name of Boko Haram literally means Western education is a sin. It's a radical group based in Nigeria, really rejects Western culture and politics, and its stated goal is really to wipe out the whole influence in this region. Of course, these attacks have been going on for some years, and this group has really had trademarking using gunsmen on motorcycles to kill police, politicians, and critics. Over the last few years, about 500 people have been killed in attacks, and especially in the first half of 2012 alone. Despite these military crackdown and state emergencies, Boko Raham seems to really intensify the campaign. And even on Christmas Day 2011, they coordinated attacks on several churches, killing at least 35 people. And they do that on a regular basis. Again, not to kind of share something that you already know. So at the end of the day, you know, what would happen, you know, would they kidnap the girls? What would happen to these girls? Some of these girls escaped, but many were still being captive and sold into slavery or held for ransom. It's not clear what the government is doing, but people are really holding protests and taking to social media. And this protest really fueled even more when Boko Haram captured 8 more girls on May 5th, just a couple weeks ago. This kind of reminds me of, when you think about the whole notion of a civil war or some type of war, and especially in Nigeria, it reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Tears of the Sun, starring Bruce Willis. Kennedy probably looking at me and said, Dad watches that movie a little bit too much. But, you know, in the midst of, if you remember the movie, in the midst of a Nigerian civil war and a coup, Navy SEAL Lieutenant Waters had an elite squadron who came in and really had to make a choice between a duty versus humanity, if you remember, and between really following orders and ignoring what was happening to the refugees, or really follow the conscience and to protect those people. So as you remember, Lieutenant Waters, under strict orders, remained disengaged for the conflict, but he and his men witnessed that brutality firsthand. So they decided to escort some villagers and through this perilous track through the dense jungle, and then as well as they pursued by rebels. And what they found out was among them refugees was the sole survivor of the country, of the previous ruling family, when the rebels had ordered really eliminate him at all costs. Not only was this refugee was the sole heir, but he's the last connection to the Hebrew nation. And these rebels wanted to really cut that bloodline at all costs. So if as you remember, they made it across the line to Cameroon and really saved the day. He lost a few of his soldiers. But what I want to get to is at the end of the movie, as the credits begin to roll, a quote from Edmund Burke, Sir Edmund Burke, flashed across the screen, and it says, "All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." And really do nothing. So what has been the response up until this point with these 300 or so girls? What is like being kidnapped or sold or held captive or in prison, either physically or even mentally or even spiritually? Can you imagine? Can you really imagine that? How would you deal with this as such a cap if you were a captive or a parent of or a family member of one of these girls? You know, there's a movement on social media right now around Bring Back Our Girls. But, you know, there's some other movements from politics and so forth, denouncements of other countries, people really rallying behind this. But, you know, at the end of the day, what should good men do? Referencing back to Sir Edmund Burke's quote, "All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." What should good men do? What should good men do about these kidnapped girls who are kidnapped in prisons? And which really brings us to our question of the day. What is the remedy? So to help us with that, we have Consuela A. Hall, who is the president and founder of Remedy International, public charity focused on providing food, shelter, education, and self-help programs, emergency relief to meet the unreached needs of local and global communities. So, you know, with a strong zeal to really connect the unreached, and Consuela has a powerful and compelling testimony that brings a real approach to the challenges of life. And as well as he has a personal mission of being a beacon of light, being a beacon of light to those who are lost, provide hope that to the hopeless, and really educate those who are seeking knowledge. You know, whether it's communicating on topics of faith, business, leadership, her powerful messages and a testimony are tailored around love, hope, dignity, tenacity, and, of course, most of all, perseverance. So stay with us as we bring on Consuela. So after the break, we'll bring her on, and we'll continue. We'll start our dialogue around the kidnapped girls and in prison and what's the remedy. So during the break, feel free to stay with us. Log into our live chat room at Blog Talk Radio here. Our number here is 310-861-2331. If you want to get into the dialogue, friends, we'll love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. And this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose He has for you. We are taking calls today at 310-861-2331. Feel free to make a comment or press 1 on your telephone if you happen to call in, and that virtually raises your hand and we'll bring you on. So we're almost at the end of our Vow to Pray series. We kicked the series off by paralleling the cry of, my God, why have you forsaken me, from King David in Psalm 22, and all the way to the King of Kings, Jesus, in Matthew. In the midst of these two anguished prayers, we shared how the vow to praise can transform any agony, any abandonment, any situation, regardless of the circumstances. A righteous sufferer can count on the good news of God acting on his behalf, acting in assured deliverance and blessed assurance. So as we've had a few shows of really demonstrating that in the last few weeks, and last week, where we had the NFL great Alfred Anderson, who played NFL for a few years, and when the Lord really, when it comes to the point of knowing what your purpose is, when he calls, we played on the words NFL, and when the Lord drafts you or calls your in name, you must F follow, and L, lead in your purpose, your calling. So please feel free to listen to that replays, which is on our website, which is QCUEleadership.org or .com. But today's subject, is about more than the 300 girls. It could be plus or minus. Were kidnapped from the school in Nigeria by this Islamic militant group Boko Haram. And that, again, that name literally means Western education is a sin. So this group has a goal of establishing an Islamic state and really wiping out any Western influence on their girls and their people. So combining education and combining this with girls that really sparked this kidnapping. With these girls kidnapped and in prison, our question of the day is, what's the remedy? So to help us answer that, we welcome our special guest, Consuela Hall. Consuela, you with us?
Yes, I am here. Thank you so much, Eric, for just kind of having me on the show. I definitely consider it a privilege, and I am just humbled to be here. So thank you once again.
No, thanks. Thanks for agreeing. You know, what I'm going to try to do, I'm going to try my best, is not to call you by your nickname. So if it slips, we'll forgive me.
Not a problem at all, Eric. Hey, whatever. I'm completely fine with it.
So we're going to jump right in. You know, as I always do, I always start with our guests with two simple questions. And I start with the first one. Tell me, what is that one word that describes you?
I would definitely say driven. Just driven to make certain that I'm able to just kind of walk in purpose, to just walk into the assignment, just to walk into the calling that God has called me to. So I am driven and I am focused to do that. So I have faith that I've been able to just kind of persevere through a lot, just to kind of remain focused and to also just kind of remain committed to the task, to the purpose, to the assignment.
Amen. You know, so this next question is probably pretty trivial for you, but I want to ask it anyway, and I probably start framing it a different way, but really if money was an issue from an economic means, supporting yourself, you know, what would you do every day?
That's really interesting, actually, a funny question. I feel like I am doing it. Of course, I am the president of Remedy International, and I just have a heart and a passion just to serve people and to really just kind of be able to encourage them, just to be able to motivate them, just to be able to provide hope in a hopeless situation. So just to be able to serve the community, whether it's offering a word of hope, whether it's offering a word of encouragement, but even if I, you know, need to kind of shift into just providing an action-based approach, just kind of meeting the needs of the unreached needs of the local and global community, that within itself is passion for me. That does it. That seals it for me.
That seals it for you. So it really aligns itself with the whole driven piece here, and we'll pick up some of those things, but really tell us a little about Remedy International. How it got started, and in between that, tell a little bit about yourself. Don't tell them too much; may steal some questions down the road. But tell about the Remedy International.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Pretty much Remedy International Incorporated is a registered charitable nonprofit organization that provides food, shelter, education, self-help programs and emergency relief in an effort to meet the unreached needs of the local and global community. So pretty much we have work pretty much kind of tailored around economic development, education, emergency response, and service funding. So, of course, we pretty much kind of employ an economic development model using various markets to positively impact the environmental and social dimensions. And as far as with the educational component, we're big. We just feel like education definitely kind of solves a lot of problems. We feel like it's the key to kind of escape from poverty. And that's not always on a material level, but just sometimes in our minds. So with the aid and the transformation of individuals so that they can actually kind of assist us, so that they can kind of go out and kind of help to transform their communities as well. And then, of course, we have the emergency response piece, where we pretty much aim to respond and provide emergency relief aid to the severely disadvantaged due to the lack of community resources. So it doesn't have to be anything big, catastrophic or tornadoes or tsunami or, you know, any of that. But sometimes it can just be the subtle things, such as losing your job or, you know, going through a divorce and things of that nature. So Remedy International has definitely been in existence since 2012, currently undergoing the 501c3 process as of right now. But it was pretty much birthed pretty much through my personal journey, just kind of going through a lot of things personally, such as, you know, being molested and, you know, having a miscarriage and kind of going through domestic violence and, you know, being positioned in a homeless situation and just kind of wanting to give up on life and having those suicidal thoughts and wrestling and kind of going back and forth. So I think pretty much kind of in that moment of just, you know, setting myself aside, kind of separating myself just to really just kind of get into the presence of the Lord and just kind of allowing him to just kind of speak to me, just to kind of reveal to me, just kind of lifting me up and rebuilding me. I think it was just kind of in those broken moments and those lonely places, those tough places that God actually kind of gave me the vision for Remedy International. And of course, in 2012, we definitely kind of see the manifestation of it.
It took your testimony of you being in being in certain situations, and now you're meeting people at their gaps because he met you there, and essentially providing not only just some short-term benefit but some long-term elements, and really helping along the way, because it's so easy during tough times not to focus on him and focus on your own situation. So, you know, it really, you know, at the end of the day, as you go through this type of work, why is it so important, and what are some of the things that has surprised you in your time of focusing on your passion, on your purpose?
Well, honestly, to be honest with you, you know, I don't take credit for anything. I just feel just submitting to the voice of God and just obedient to continue to walk as things continue to unfold, and also as the vision of Remedy International continues to unfold, and also we're continuing to shape the vision as well. But it's just been an amazing journey, to be honest with you, just to be able to provide hope in a hopeless situation, just to be able to provide encouragement and things of that nature, just to, I guess, come across the number of individuals that actually need to be helped. There's such a great need. There are, you know, things that we pretty much kind of take for granted, that, you know, people are really just there, just kind of waiting for people to just be obedient, just to have the boldness, just to have the courage to be able to step into their purpose and their passion, and people are waiting for people to just be obedient to that cause. So I think just really the surprising is just the overwhelming response of the need that's actually out there, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, and so when you see that, what do we need more of, and what do we need less of? Meeting people at the gaps, as you see, right?
Right, absolutely. Pretty much, honestly, if we can get more people to shift the attention from themselves and to shift the attention to others, I think we will be able to make a greater impact on people who are actually in need, to be able to foster a sense of hope in hopeless situations. So really just kind of once we shift the focus from ourselves, it just opens up so many doors for us personally. It opens up so many doors for other people, so that it really kind of fosters a sense of hope. I would definitely say we need less of just individuals just kind of identifying and just talking about the situation, but not doing anything to become a solution, or, you know, kind of assisting in a solution for the problem, and not being able to pretty much kind of provide an action-based approach. So, I mean, we can all talk about it. We can all identify with it to a great degree, but if we're not bold enough and we don't have enough courage, or we don't have enough strength to kind of go after it, to kind of assist, it's one thing to be able to identify, but if we never step out and take an action-based approach to assist those individuals in need, of course, no impact. There's no change. Nothing actually happens. So, of course, that's where I have to see less of.
So in essence, he said kind of shift your focus off ourselves is really being one to another, as the Lord calls us to be one to another, be a brother's keeper in a lot of what we do. And I always share that, you know, my life got a whole lot simpler when I realized it wasn't about me. And so to your point, you only can give him the glory in all of this. But as you find opportunities to really serve somebody, you know, how great is that? How great is, not necessarily from a personal pride perspective, but how great is that to give him the glory, knowing that he used you as an instrument?
That is actually correct, Eric. You know, the greatest commandment, he said to love God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, but he also said to love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, it's difficult to walk past a person that you see that they actually need help. It's like, how are we exemplifying the love? What are we doing to provoke a response within ourselves? You know, how dare we be that selfish that, you know, if we were in that same situation, you know, would we want someone to actually walk past us when we see that we have a need, when we see that an individual needs a coat? Are we willing to take a coat off because we have multiples or, you know, so many kind of laying around, you know? So I think, you know, just those simple principles of just kind of shifting the focus from ourselves just to be able to help a brother or other sister in need. And like you stated, just to kind of echo what you just stated, is that our life is not about us. It's when we're willing to give up ourselves for the sake of a greater cause. That's what living is all about, and that's what being a martyr is all about. It's finding a cause that I'm saying that, hey, I'm willing to die for this cause. I'm willing to die, you know, helping people and things of that nature, and it doesn't have to necessarily be to that extreme, but that's what purpose is. You embrace it, you walk in it, and you protect it because you understand the calling, you understand the hurt and the pain that's associated with these people that you are supposed to reach. And so, you know, that's what I challenge every individual on this call that's listening, you know, to find that call, to find that purpose. What are you willing to die for? What is it that you're being called to, that thing that's just keeping you up at night, that you're just kind of struggling with? I'm kind of going back and forth, but if I had this, and you're making every single excuse to say that, hey, if I had this, then I would do it and things of that nature, but then just get to a point or either place a resolve in your mind just to say that no matter what, my purpose is more important because it is a life of significance.
It is, and once it takes hold of you, it has you. I tell you, once it takes hold, it has you. You know, for the last couple minutes, I want to get this in. I'm going to go off the script here for a second, but once we come in from the break and we kind of shift gears a little bit, I joked earlier about calling you by your nickname, but I you know, lots of times the Lord kind of gives us situations, experiences in our lives, and it kind of really helps to mold us a little bit. So one of the first times I saw you was on the basketball court, so, you know, I got to bring that up. So tell us about your passion around that and how I kind of propel you to play a little college and other things. So just kind of give people a little flavor of all what makes up Consuela.
Yeah, so of course I'm originally from Alabama. Had the opportunity of attending the University of Illinois at Chicago on a full basketball scholarship. So I've pretty much playing basketball since about the age of six, I think, probably a lot sooner, to be quite honest with you. But I had the privilege of just kind of learning so many great things. Basketball is probably very dear to my heart. It was just that place in my mind where I could just kind of escape all the other things that was kind of going on in my world, where I could just kind of step away to just kind of clear my mind and just kind of be free, if that makes any sense. So many qualities that has kind of been cultivated kind of through the skill of basketball and the discipline and the leadership that's definitely kind of associated with it, the work ethic, teamwork, and things of that nature. So it's been phenomenal. It's definitely something that's very dear to me, and definitely would like to kind of, you know, kind of do more work, kind of, you know, getting more teams and things of that nature kind of involved around the sports.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's the first time I saw you was on the court by yourself shooting free throws.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I remember every single day.
Yep,
I don't think I ever
absolutely
missed a day. Rain, yes, leaders know, so.
dedication, that discipline, that's what you need, and that's what the Lord used. It's kind of, it's funny how he'll use those things you have a passion about and turn it on you, and in order to really use it for his glory at the end of the day. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with Consuela around girls kidnapped or in prison. What's the remedy? So during the break, feel free to call us and add any questions on 310-861-2331 or even making a comment. And so even you can log on to our live chat room at Blog Talk Radio and chat with Kennedy, or she can bring you into discussion if you choose to do so. Friends, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to call us again at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue for God's will and his purpose on our lives. So today's question of the day is girls kidnapped and in prison. What's the remedy? We have our special guest who's helping us, Consuela A. Hall, who's the president of Founder Remedy International. It's a public charity focused on providing food, shelter, education, self-help programs, emergency relief to those who have some unreached needs, and also locally as well as globally. And Consuela, thanks for staying with us this evening.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks again.
We're talking about we're talking about your basketball career, but I just want to have true transparency here. We've known each other for a long time, and come from a great family. And her uncle is my college roommate in college, and also teammate in football at Jacksonville State. So I kind of, that was like my second home. So I got a chance to see her in action at a very young age. So thanks for keeping connected with me, and it's going to be an exciting show.
Likewise, thank you, Eric.
Hey, so you know, I had a question that I was going to lead with, but I think it's pretty obvious after, based upon what people have said. I was going to ask you how important. I was just going to ask you anyway. It's trivial based upon what you've shared with us so far and what I've known How important is your relationship with the Lord?
It's my everything. It's my existence. I was created to glorify Him. So, for the most part, my relationship with the Lord is everything. And I would be completely disrespectful, for lack of a better word, if I was to stay here to sit here tonight and not acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's just been phenomenal. You know, everything that I've pretty much gone through, every, you know, tough place, every tight place, every long place, lonely place, you know, God has been there at the center of it all. And to say that, hey, I still love you in spite of, and that's just an amazing God that we actually serve, that His love for us is sufficient for everything, and it's enough. His relationship, my relationship with the Lord is, like I stated, it is everything. It's why I exist. It's why I am still standing. It's the reason why I was able to gravitate towards an inward hope, because God stated that, hey, in spite of it all, I still love you. In spite of it all, I still have a plan for you. And so I stand here tonight because I'm just thankful for His grace. I'm thankful for His mercies that are new each and every day. And so I stand here, and I still exist because of Him.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. You know, he is absolutely everything and still loves us in spite of us ourselves at times. You know, so you've been watching and probably the recent news coverage on the kidnapped girls. And essentially, it is what Remedy is all about at the end of the day. So can you just kind of give your some short thoughts on and what you witness and what your sense of around this whole situation and with these 300 or so girls kidnapped in Nigeria?
Absolutely. It's very interesting because, of course, you know, when things hit the media, of course, it just really raises the awareness. But, of course, probably as you and I both know that, you know, these things actually take place on the international on the international level. There are so many instances where these things actually kind of take place. So this is probably nothing new under the sun. I don't think there's really anything new under the sun, to be quite transparent with you. But it saddens me to know that, you know, this stuff continues, you know, pretty much throughout the country or out or abroad. And so it's just amazing for me, just from that educational component, and that's definitely very dear to me, because it's really just the power of knowledge and the key and, you know, things of that nature. So it's definitely, yes, it's something that I have been following, and it's something that's kind of the core or kind of a pillar of Remedies, you know, as it kind of surrounds the educational piece, kind of from that perspective.
Yes, yes. So along the way, though, you know, can you imagine, you know, I guess I'm trying to get a little personal with you. Can you imagine, you know, being somewhat, I know you hadn't never been kidnapped or so, but can you imagine that being captive and in prison, if it's physically or even, you know, mentally or spiritually?
Absolutely. Eric, it's so funny. It's very interesting because we look at these type of situations or incidents and, you know, of course, you know, in our minds, of course, you know, no one likes it. It saddens us all. It makes us feel compelled to move. It makes us, you know, feel compelled to be advocates and to really just kind of, you know, what can we do to kind of take a stand or, you know, things of that nature. But I feel like many of us are in a captive state on so many levels. So for me personally, I know, you know, of course, the situation is so unfortunate, but, you know, being, you know, molested or, you know, having a miscarriage and kind of going through domestic violence and things of that nature, there is a captivity that takes place in your mind that, of course, you're trying to push through. I come across so many women who are currently homeless, and in their minds they can never get over the situation that actually occurred to them. They didn't have the resources. They didn't have the assistance, or either they just became stuck in a specific place in their mind that they actually could not get over the hump. And so, yes, I say that because there are so many people still to this day that we as Remedy help, and people are just captive. And that's why, of course, we try to provide education just to transform the minds of individuals. And so, you know, kind of having that personal story, that personal journey to just be able to identify is that it's such a stronghold at times. It's so difficult to really just kind of get over the pain that's associated with things. And so we find ourselves trying to suppress the issue, but not really dealing with the issue, not really having or obtaining the healing and the deliverance from what's taking place in your mind. And so it becomes a stronghold over us. And, you know, we try to change our situations in the natural, but because our mindset never changed and because we're never healed or either we're never delivered from it, then, of course, it doesn't matter how many times you change, you know, your external viewpoint or, you know, your external situation, because at the end of the day, nothing has really taken place inwardly. And so, yes, it creates a sense of captivity for so many individuals that so many of us actually kind of struggle with. So until we actually kind of take the time to actually deal with it, to work through the hurt, and to really be able to kind of forgive the individuals that have kind of done these things and kind of our self-imposed things that we've also done, and just learning to forgive ourselves, forgiving others and things of that nature, that's kind of the power of the breakthrough that's pretty much kind of needed to kind of free us from that captive state.
So you talked about, you know, some of the things that that you've experienced, being not necessarily in captive state, but you've been in those situations. How important is it, I mean, use the acronym, to have that common ground with people who come across who have probably been molested or have been part of domestic violence or whatever the case is that you've experienced? How important is that in your ministry?
It's very important, to be honest with you. I think when people kind of, when you're able to openly share what you've gone through and kind of where you are and also some of the things that you've done to kind of help you get to a place where you're kind of free, really, in your mind. Just really, you know, being completely transparent, just to be able to go to an individual and to say that, hey, I've experienced this, and for them to kind of see where you are right now, it provides hope. Your personal testimony, your personal transparency provides hope to some individuals, and to say that, hey, I'm kind of in a rut, or I've always looked at it from this perspective, but I never really viewed it from this perspective. And most of the time, people are willing to receive help. People are willing to listen to you because no one really wants to be in that state of where they currently are. And so sometimes people are just seeking help. They just don't know how to come out of it. I remember kind of being in a homeless situation and positioned in a homeless situation, and not that I wanted to be there, but I was just really at a loss kind of in my life. It was just, wow, you know, I didn't want to be here. I want help. I need help, but I'm so embarrassed. There's so much pride associated with this state because I'm just so embarrassed to even share anyone that, man, I've gotten this far. I've ended up here, and I have no idea how I've gotten here and have just really kind of veered and really strayed so far off course that, you know, it's just an embarrassing moment. So just really kind of reaching those individuals and to say that, hey, you know, this has kind of been my story. This is kind of what I've done, but also this is where I am now through the grace of God as well. So, you know, my personal testimony is very instrumental, definitely, in the lives that we're able to impact from Remedy as well.
And you say that this captivity takes a strong hold over you. And you talked about, yeah, there needs to be a healing and there needs to be a deliverance. Before you get to the healing, though, how do you help people get over what you just mentioned, the shame? You know, the same word in Hebrew of shame is like feeling naked, in a sense, right? So
right.
You help people
right.
get over that. I know you use your testimony, but that has to be a huge barrier once you get over that shame.
Absolutely. I think once you get tired of self, once you get sick and tired of doing the same thing over and over and still not getting results, you start to break a great bit, actually, in my personal opinion. So I know for me, like, yeah, I had shame initially. But, of course, when you're still trying to worry about, you know, how you're going to eat or, you know, what are you going to do from the next day, you start to kind of break down after so many weeks and say that, hey, I just need help. When you can start to be real and honest with self and to say that, hey, I didn't make all the right decisions. I didn't always go about things the right way. I didn't plan to actually be here. But when I really got sick and tired of self, that's when I really kind of started to kind of reach out to other people. And that's what they'll pretty much find. And people are definitely kind of willing to assist at times if they just kind of know your current situation. So just kind of getting over self, getting over, you know, just a sense of pride that's pretty much kind of associated, you know, kind of in those tough situations, I think that that's kind of pretty much remarkable, and that really kind of starts your healing process as well. And sometimes, you know, it's difficult to look in the mirror. I know for me, you know, I battled thoughts of suicide, you know, pretty much just because I hated myself. Kind of in those processes, even in those tough moments, even in those difficult moments, I was just tired of life. I felt like I could take no more. I felt like I was literally at a breaking point. I felt that, you know, I was just so tired. I didn't like the direction that my life was moving in, and I truly felt like I had failed myself. I had failed my family. I had failed, you know, all those people that had taken the time to really just kind of pour into me. And so you wrestle with all of those things just to kind of get to a place, but towards an inward hope, and to say that in that place of brokenness, you realize that, hey, at the end of the day, that Lord, I need you, and really kind of break it down to really kind of submit to his will, submitting to his way, and to say that, hey, I've done it on my way long enough. And so now I want to try something completely different to make certain that I can kind of get different results. And so for me, it was just a matter of submitting, you know, to the will of God over my life. I didn't want to do it my way anymore because I saw how my way and the path of destruction that it led me to.
So you took off, you got sick and tired of self, which took off your exoskeleton, as you said, of shame, right? And then
that is correct.
And once you're honest with yourself and you got to a breaking point, and I wasn't aware of the thought of taking your own life, but tell us of when the Lord met you there. He had to meet you there, right? In order to really
absolutely.
Take you to start your healing. And so once you allow him to kind of take your hand a little bit, what's the next step as you take people through that remedy at the end of the day?
Pretty much, honestly, as I kind of speak more so just pretty much kind of about the suicidal component, I felt that the Lord had started to place individuals kind of around me that really kind of surrounded me kind of with the love that I needed pretty much kind of in that season. And so that's what I try to do with others is to have an action-based approach, spend time with them, really just start to pour into other individuals, just starting to boost up their mind, boosting up their confidence, you know, and things of that nature as I personally try to lead people to the Lord. And so for me, that pretty much really kind of sealed it for me to a great degree. I know it's kind of like, you know, you're dealing with suicide and, you know, you kind of want to take your life and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, having people to love you in the midst of your failures, but then also being able to get past that bridge of kind of what other people think about you, how they will label you, and just really kind of getting over that point and just allowing the Lord to just really kind of build you up and mold you in the way that he intended for you to kind of walk in your purpose. And so that was kind of challenging, to be honest with you, because you feel isolated, you feel separated, you feel like you're still kind of pretty much in this valley. But the Lord is saying that, hey, I had to kind of wipe some of those things out of you so I can fill you with some new things. And so just really just embracing that process was absolutely phenomenal, and that started to give me life as I spent one-on-one time with him and just that quality time and just really in his presence at the end of the day and just getting from God what I had been searching to receive from everybody else and understanding that no one else could fill that void. But
yeah, amen. So essentially he broke you. You know, he molded you up and that's when he'd be able to fill you so he can use you, right? Right now he's just
absolutely
using you because not only he's delivered you but delivering others, that's with your own testimony. That is absolutely powerful. But it all had to happen. It couldn't happen without you getting sick and tired of yourself and to use your words and also to break down that wall of shame. We get past that. I think it gets easier, I would think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that sometimes, you know, we can be our worst enemy, to be honest with you, Eric. You know, of course, in our minds, you know, you have the academics kind of behind you and you think that you exemplify or, you know, have all the wisdom that's needed to make all your decisions. And, you know, sometimes you get a little confident. Sometimes it's like, you know, I kind of got this on my own. I don't need help from the Lord or from anyone else. I kind of got this, you know. But, you know, sometimes just kind of getting over self sometimes can be the most difficult and the most challenging thing to actually do. But also kind of getting over self, but also learning to forgive self also can be a challenging thing. And that was kind of one of the things that I kind of wrestled with for at least about a year is just, you know, just kind of on myself for all the poor decisions and, you know, things that I've done. And, you know, I'm definitely not one to sit here and say that I've had, you know, this life that other people has, you know, just kind of, you know, done all these terrible things. But I've also done some things on my end as well that, you know, I've had to learn how to forgive myself as I've wrestled to kind of struggle, as I struggled with, you know, trying to get over, you know, how to pretty much kind of mesh those feelings or, you know, kind of getting over the hump, you know, with all of those feelings and really trying to channel everything that has kind of occurred in my life up until this point. So you struggle with that, you know, you hurt people in the process, you know, you're hurt by other people in the process, and you're really just trying to find your way pretty much at that point. And so just kind of getting over self, but also learning to forgive self because there's so much power in loving yourself and also forgiving yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so much power in that. And, you know, we've talked about a few things and we've talked about some low points in your life. And, you know, there's been reports. So you can imagine what these girls are going through. Always, as to your point, it's happening all across the globe of girls getting kidnapped or somewhat abused in some form or fashion. And you know, there have been reports to say that there's some girls have been, you know, violated from rape to torture and that type of thing. And, you know, was part of that your lowest points? Is that where we talked about where the Lord really had to come take your hand when you had those thoughts? Can you talk about that a little bit? And, you know, you can go as far as you like, but I just wanted to kind of give the audience a breath of where you've been and where you are now.
Absolutely, Eric. Yeah, that lowest point in my life was really just a breaking point for me. I remember just kind of isolating myself from everyone. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't, you know, want to be associated with anyone, didn't want to pretty much kind of do anything. So, yes, that breaking point was just very critical pretty much for me. And I'm sure, you know, with some of the girls, it's almost like, you know, some of these things happen to you and it's like, here I am, I just want to be educated, I just want to do the right thing. But yet, you know, these things pretty much kind of come up. And that's just like life. You know, we deal with it. We try to channel those things, even in those tough places and even in those, you know, those hard places, those difficult places that I personally believe that's when God meets you where you are. Not only does he meet you where you are, but he provides you with everything that you need because now he understands that, hey, he knocks you off balance just so that he can be able to lean, so that we can lean on him. We can have total dependence on him to a great degree, and that's kind of where I was. I was at a place of desperation, and I was looking for manifestation. But at the end of the day, I knew that God wrapped his arms around me and really kind of breathed or gave me life in such a hopeless and desperate situation. And so that's pretty much kind of my life.
Sure. So, you know, even when you came out of that, you know, just talk about some of the girls that have been forced to convert and deny their own faith. Can you imagine having the change or even changing or denying Christ in order to live?
Right. That's really a tough situation because, you know, Eric, I just could never imagine myself pretty much in that situation, to be honest with you, just denying Christ and everything that you've been taught and everything that you actually believe in and actually getting to that place where you don't even have a choice anymore, but you're forced to do it. And, you know, that's really tough and that's very challenging. And like you said, that's pretty much the situation that, these young ladies from Nigeria has pretty much kind of been placed in to a great degree. So it's very tough and very challenging. But when you're forced to do something and when your back is up against the wall, you know, it's just tough to kind of be in that type of situation, and it really saddens us all.
Yeah, it is, especially if you don't have the perspective, as Paul always tells us, that we have to die daily, and meaning
right.
That this is for him, not for you. And, you know, I imagine there probably some brave young girls who probably have lost their life because they chose not to do so. And even though it's a tragedy as far as we can see it from a human side of things, but, you know, as far as that those particular girls meeting the Lord Almighty, you know, I'm sure he'll say, well done. At the end of the day. So I know it's strange to say that, but in a sense, if that's one of the reasons they lost their lives, that is a different perspective we got to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
So we're going to take a quick break. And so after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with Consuela Hall, who is the founding and president of Remedy International. And we're talking about the girls kidnapped in the prison. And really the question of the day is, what's the remedy to that? And she's outlined some great aspects so far, so we're going to continue our dialogue after the break. So feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 to make a question or comment. Press 1 on your telephone, and we would love to hear from you, bring you in. So this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
We lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue to this calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Thanks. We're back. Thanks for staying with us. You listen to OnCue. I'm your host, Eric Power. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you leave where you are by getting on cue with our, what you're calling the Lord has for you. We have a little technical difficulty, so forgive us for the pause there. We're taking calls at 310-861-2331. And we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to log into our blog talk, our live chat room on Blog Talk Radio. And so today's question of the day is, what is the remedy? And we have our special guest, Consuela A. Hall, who is the president and founder of Remedy International, a public charity focused on providing food, shelter, education, self-care program, and emergency relief to the unreached needs of local and global communities. And our subject of the day is really around the captive, 300 captive young ladies in Nigeria. But essentially, of course, broader than that, people have been, and really translated as Consuela, we've talked about today, it's not just being captives physically, but also captive of minds and situations and things that we deal with each and every day in our lives. No matter where you are, you don't have to be, you know, at gunpoint, but you can really just be in your home dealing with financial, family situations. And how important is it to ensure that we keep the Lord first when we going through these difficult times? Did we lose? She's still there. Consuela?
Yes, I am here.
There you go. There you go. That's a, it was difficulties on our end. Okay?
That's okay. That's okay. I'm here.
Okay, great, great. Well, so we were before the break, we're talking about you know, your situation, how the Lord kind of brought you through, and essentially how we have to start dealing with the inwardness. You know, how you deal with this first is forgiveness. Not only yourself, but others. Talk about some of the steps and really helping our friends understand how important it is really to forgive yourself, no matter what those problems are, because once you ask the Lord to forgive me, they're gone. So can you talk about how important is that step?
Yeah, I think any time that you walk around with unforgiveness, unforgiveness pretty much in your heart, there's a bondage that takes place. It doesn't matter how much you're trying to press through. It doesn't matter how many improvements you're trying to make, you know, to better yourself or to create yourself to be in a much better situation or position or whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, you're still held captive pretty much to something that you honestly have control over. And so pretty much kind of with that bondage, you will learn that it will haunt you. It will, you know, forever be present pretty much in your mind because you're bitter, you're angry. Every single time you think about it, you're upset with self or you're upset with others or the person that has inflicted pain on you. And so sometimes you realize and you understand that, wow, if God loves me enough to say that, hey, I will forgive all of your wrongs. If, you know, once you confess them and things of that nature, I still forgive you and I still love you. And then you just kind of question, you know, who am I, you know, to decide and dictate who I choose to forgive and not forgive. And it's almost kind of like with ourselves. It's just like the bondage that takes place, and you're trying to press forward towards something else. And it doesn't matter how far you think you're getting or how much progress you're still trying to make, there's still a captivity and a bondage in your mind that you definitely want to be free from someday. And so just pretty much kind of giving it over just to say that, hey, this is happening, and you realize, and you kind of put your personal life in perspective, because none of us have been perfect. None of us have always said the right things. None of us have always, you know, exemplified, you know, exceptional actions at times. And so with all of that being stated, as you start to think about everything that you're currently doing, or you have done pretty much in your past, you realize and you understand that, wow, the freedom that's associated with it. And so once you kind of get tired of the bum that's in your mind and just really just kind of holding on to something that at the end of the day you really should kind of let go, you're past it, let's move forward now. And that's what unforgiveness will do for you. It releases you from a situation that you're no longer held captive, you're no longer in bondage anymore.
You're no longer in bondage anymore. You know, when we think about bondage, we think about captivity, we think about redemption, we think about having to deal with in order to break free for certain situations, we always think about Joseph, right? And when his family, of course, jealous of what his calling, what his status is going to be within the family, decide to sell him into slavery. And you know, went through almost 3 decades going through different situations and finally getting the Lord put him in a place in order to kind of save a whole nation there. You know, what can we learn from Joseph in dealing with being enslaved almost 17 years, at 17 years old, and how he endures through this mist of adversity?
Yeah, pretty much is that at the end of the day, no matter what you've gone through, whether it's in your control or not, you can still persevere. You can still get through things. You can still have the tenacity. You still have all the tools that you need, and you are equipped to pursue all of those things that's on the inside of you, like your ideas, your dreams, and your goals, and things of that nature. So regardless of whatever your position was and, you know, how people looked down on you or kind of whatever you went through and, you know, things of that nature, at the end of the day, you can still be successful. You still have the ability to overcome because greater is in you. And so, you know, it's always kind of my encouragement to say that, hey, regardless, despite the daunting odds that was definitely against you, and even as I kind of view my own life, is that you can still pursue those things. And that word pursue suggests an action that, you know, you're no longer waiting for things to come to you, but you're willing to chase after the dreams and the visions that continue to draw you. And as we know, Joseph had so many dreams. He had so many visions that continued to kind of keep him going in spite of when things were completely out of his control. And so you shift to a place where you're pretty much no longer trying to avoid your goals, but you shift to a place where you're eagerly seeking methods for pursuing every measure necessary to fulfill them.
Yep. You know, it's amazing that his circumstances kind of came his remedy, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, I think back to where I shared with earlier friends that I always, you know, my dad passed a little bit over a year ago, and then, of course, condolences to you, to your grandfather, who, of course, I knew for a long time, and I always wondering, Lord, you know, why is this happening? But I kind of helped channel some of this, that same situation to your uncle, my roommate, for a while, to saying that, you know, what helped me was as I was asking for help and being confident, being healed and so forth, Lord forced me in situations to give comfort, to give prayer, to give healing to people, even in the midst of my whole circumstances. And so lots of times when we're looking for the remedy, it's right there where you got issues are. So how important for us to really recognize that point, to really just use those circumstances in order to strengthen ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about, is that honestly, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about perspective. You know, how do we view those things that we've gone through? Because at the end of the day, although it's been a tough, challenging life, I understand that I needed those experiences in order to help me to walk out and live out my purpose. And so I feel like I've been equipped at the end of the day, and that I had all of these things at the end of the day working together, although it didn't feel good in the process. But I understand that I'm very well equipped with, you know, being able to carry out the assignment for my life and for the people that I have been pretty much called to reach in a specific season as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I draw that parallel as I spoke with you and I kind of studied for this week. I want to draw that parallel. I mean, we all can probably draw those parallels. We all want to draw the parallel to the great Joseph, being able to, within his circumstances, really walk in and stay faithful at the end of the day, where a challenge of life kind of puts you on your own personal mission to become that beacon, as you're to your point, to the lost, provide the hope for the homeless, and educate those who seek in knowledge. And, you know, at the end of the day, how important is it to master these lessons and then bring in love, hope, dignity, tenacity in your word to use, personifies you, where perseverance.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so how important is that?
It's very important, Eric, to be honest with you. If we never really get to the place where we can overcome our circumstances, where we can really embrace the process, I'm sure Joseph probably looked at it, you know, why am I actually having to go through this? But, you know, sometimes in our process, we can only see small picture and not big picture. And so not until we pretty much have conquered the process and have overcame the process and have endured the process and to take all of those life lessons and to be able to kind of wrap it up, because it's amazing because you pick up so much as you kind of go through the process, but you learn to just keep those things or to keep the scraps that you know that you will need to be able to make an impact on the others. So you keep those things that's a positive experience. You keep those things that have built you, that have molded you, that has helped develop your strength, that has helped develop, you know, your courage and your boldness and you know, all of those other things that you're kind of working with, just to be able to say that, you know, I needed all of these, and I needed to go through pretty much all of those experiences. And so really just kind of embracing the process to be able to master, you know, like you said, it with Joseph, his faith, you know, the business, or, you know, even with us, you know, just the leadership principles and things of that nature, so that we pretty much kind of know how to employ wisdom when we need to. We can draw on those past experiences. We understand that those experiences were there to build us up, to edify us, and it really kind of pretty much kind of equipped us. So just as through Joseph, as, you know, likewise through my personal story, it has helped pretty much kind of tailor a powerful message of I knew what I, you know, needed pretty much through that process. Some of, you know, the things that I pretty much needed for healing and for deliverance was love. Another thing I needed was hope. Another thing was dignity. Another, you know, quality was definitely, you know, or adjectives we utilize, tenacity and perseverance. Those are the things that, you know, I drew on pretty much kind of in my personal experiences and my personal circumstances that pretty much kind of helped me to say that I've been able to endure with the grace of God.
Amen. Amen. It takes me back to had a friend pastor on some months ago, and he said your ministry is your misery, or your misery is your ministry, which it, both ways work at the end of the day. And so we thank you for sharing that with us. So we got a question for you, though, if you don't mind. Shift gears for a second, from my eldest, who is sitting here keeping me straight and keeping me on time as well. Consuela, this is Kennedy. Kennedy has a question for you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, Kennedy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Great.
In your ministry, is there anything that you would change building it up?
Building it up, anything that I would change. Honestly, I would not change anything, to be quite honest with you. I struggled early on because I am results driven. So of course, you know, when trying to establish a nonprofit, of course I'm like, hey, we need this X amount, or we want to reach these goals and things of that nature. But I also want it to be a nonprofit organization where we actually build and establish relationships. That's at the core of what we do. And I've had to really kind of take a step back and not be so driven based on the numbers, but yet keeping that same type of passion, that enthusiasm to definitely kind of meet the commitments and meeting the needs of the local and global community that we have identified and the projects that we have accepted and taken on. But at the same token, I realized that I definitely kind of had to step back and to say that, hey, at the end of the day, it's about relationships. And it definitely kind of takes a while to build it. So for me, I think that has kind of been one of the things that has been the most meaningful and kind of impactful for me as I've kind of branched out to really kind of be obedient, you know, to the mandate that I feel that is over my life. But that's pretty much about it, to be honest with you. I don't think I would necessarily change anything just because I know the hearts and the motives are definitely pure to be able to reach a multitude of people.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I almost called you your nickname, so Consuela. what's next? You know, what can we be in prayer with you about?
Just having more resources, people just getting involved, just to say that, hey, you know, what can we do to help and kind of partner with you just to kind of be able to reach more individuals? Because, you know, we can have, you know, all the greatest ideas and, you know, we can have all these extravagant goals and, of course, they look great on paper. But if we don't have the resources, if we don't have the people that's willing to kind of pour into it and really kind of partner with us for that greater impact, then, of course, you know, the impact is not as great. And so at the end of the day, it's really about helping others. And that's pretty much kind of our focus. So just partnering with us pretty much kind of in prayer just for additional resources, people just really inquiring how can they actually get involved. That's definitely the prayer.
Well, we're going to virtually touch and agree on that one and more resources, provisions for Remedy International. Where can people find you, your website, Facebook? Can you talk about it a little bit so they can chime in and give you some likes and follow your work so far?
Awesome. Yeah. Actually, we do have a website. The website is remedyintl.org. We are currently actually in the process of updating our website, so definitely look for the new website probably within the next couple of weeks or so, if not sooner. So we're really excited about that component. Of course, we are on Facebook as well, so definitely feel free to go on the Facebook page and like the Facebook page of Remedy International Incorporated. And like I said, that's REMEDY International Incorporated. We're also on Twitter as well. So it's at Remedy, INTL, and we're also on LinkedIn as well. So definitely just kind of go in and type in Remedy International, and you should definitely kind of see us there as well. So we look forward to everyone for just kind of stopping by and, you know, our pages or our contact info. We would love to hear from you. We would love to kind of partner with you and kind of get you involved pretty much in the calls. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen. And, again, Eric, thank you as well for this opportunity.
No. We'd love to have you. You know, always ask this question as well and just kind of give you the floor if you need to be. You know, was this something that I should have asked and I didn't, or just want to leave our audience with a word or two about what you actually want everyone to know about your mission, about you, or about anything that we've talked about today?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Eric? You were going in and out. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Is there anything that I should have asked and I didn't? Or even, you know, just give you the floor to kind of share what's on your heart that you'll want people, tonight?
Yeah, just, you know, definitely just kind of keeping these young ladies in prayer. You know, I don't think I really kind of did this topic any justice, to be quite honest with you, but just really keeping these young ladies, you know, as they were pretty much kind of seeking knowledge and, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, I just, you know, just remember a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., of course, you know, his response or a quote that he utilized often was, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Mm-hmm. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And so as we continue to just kind of keep these individuals pretty much in prayer, but, you know, what can we kind of do on our end as we understand that, you know, most of us are kind of somewhat in a captive state, but they're literally kind of in a captive state in the literal sense and have been enslaved to the lack of knowledge and the freedom of being an original and not really being able to express their uniqueness in the way that they would desire. So, you know, just one takeaway or just something that's thought-provoking that I would like to leave everyone with as we just kind of talk about bringing back our girls. It's just keep this one thing and just kind of ponder on this for the next week or so. A lukewarm response to a worthy fight is an injustice to those who are counting on a victory. And I'll repeat that one more time. A lukewarm response to a worthy fight is an injustice to those who are counting on a victory.
Well, amen. It's a good closure for us. And that's Ms. Consuela Hall, founder and president of Remedy International, has given us some great nuggets about what's the remedy. Not only, she's done a great job, and she's around talking about captivity and bondage, not only from the physical perspective, but the spiritual and the mental. And it's important, no matter where we are, and these elements about first starting with taking down that exoskeleton of shame and getting people to help and understanding that the Lord's there just waiting for you in the gap. So we thank you for joining us tonight. Sway.
Thank you. Not a problem. Thank you once again for having me, Erica. Truly, I'm humbled. So thank you once again for the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely. And that was Ms. Consuela Hall, and she's here to help us talk about the girls kidnapped and really what the remedy was today. So we're going to take a quick break, and after the break we'll come back and share some parting words. You're listening on QM. Your host, Eric Powell, will be right back.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively use not only positions a person for better leadership, but a position a person for a better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Power. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting on cue with God's will and his purpose. So tonight we had Ms. Consuela Hull, who's president and founder of Remedy International, talking about the girls kidnapped in prison, referencing the 300 girls who were recently kidnapped in Chibok, Nigeria. And essentially the question of the day was, what's the remedy? And she took us through not only just from the bondage of captivity regarding physical nature with the girls, but also just from a spiritual, mental, with any situation. You know, as we look at the facts, these girls were kidnapped and imprisoned, raped and abused or killed or even forced to convert, either or. You know, they may even come out to be heroes at the end of the day, but as hard as for me to say, as well as hard for us to accept this time, they are to be admired. These even men may have took their lives because of the love and vigor of God, the Son, Christ. Some, instead of denying Christ, may have surrendered to their bold captive, may have lost their lives. But they could end up, some may become the modern-day Joseph. We never know. But I guess the question is this bigger than the kidnapped girls? Is it a wake-up call from a broader sense, as Consuela talked about, a captivity and a bondage of our spirit? I reference a quote by Edmund Burke at the beginning of our time today. It reads, "All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." I found an interesting article from a pastor named Dr. Glenn Clifton when he said, "When good men do nothing." Not sure I agree with all of his piece, but there were some few interesting nuggets that were there. And he brought up 3 points. He said, when good men do nothing, they get nothing done. Like the servant in the parable of the talents who went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And the Lord returned, he returned to the Lord just to what he had given. And notice, the servant did not do anything outright evil, just stealing money, but neither did he do anything good. Remember, he did nothing. Nothing good was accomplished. So Jesus said to him that he was a wicked and slothful servant. And so, secondly, when good men do nothing, they help evil to triumph. Remember the story of Jesus told of the traveler who was robbed and beaten and left behind half dead. Those men who did this were wicked and did a very wicked thing. But the priest placed his religion above the welfare of the desperate man. The Levite placed his own safety before the compassion. He looked and then left the man to the plight. The Samaritan placed compassion and servant above everything. And that good Samaritan didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. He gave his time, his energy, his commitment, and his goods in order to serve. He was definitely not lukewarm, as our guest Consuela shared tonight. And thirdly, when good men do nothing, they're no longer good. Many of us mistake the notion that good is merely the absence of doing which is not wrong. I don't believe that's so. One is good not merely because he does no evil, but because he actually working for what is good. Apostle Paul wrote, "Let him turn away, really shun evil, and do good." And as in 1 Peter 3:11, James also explained, "Therefore to him that knows to do good, does it not, to him it is sin." So sometimes our silence, our lukewarmness, our doing nothing can do just as much as harm. As in our example, as we parallel Joseph today, Reuben, Joseph's brother, knew his brother's murderous plot against Joseph was wrong. He started an attempt to deliver Joseph, but as he hesitated and vacillated, the other brother sold Joseph into slavery. And when Reuben heard what he had done, he realized his failure to act had helped to bring about this evil result. You know, what would you do when you have this evil that has a vigor for God and has the same vigor in forcing you to deny Christ and surrender? Originally, to our question of the day, what is the remedy? We are show of asking each of us remember this life is really, at the beginning of our shows, we always ask us to remember that this life is about love and surrender. And it really comes to the point, what do you surrender to? Consuela talked about the really denying yourself and really being sick or tired of yourself. Are you surrendering to yourself or to the world or some doctrine? Are we really willing to stand for Christ? Are we really commit to our lives to Him today and everything we do? And are we willing to die for Him daily? You know, dying to self daily is what Paul wrote so often about, and it's how we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, as instructed in Romans and in Galatians. You know, the whole issue is that dying to self daily is the absolute remedy. It literally means that you have to die to self daily. In other words, deny yourself. In bad times, even when you're kidnapped, you're in prison, you're neglected, you lied on, you cheat on, you're stolen from, you're enslaved or in bondage, if it's due alcohol or drugs or sex or gambling, shopping, whatever that is, and we become enslaved to, if we don't die to self daily, we end up walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. So what if Joseph had a different response when he saw his brothers before him? Instead, he wept. And then he told them, "Don't be afraid, for I am in the presence of God. But as you meant it for evil, God meant it for good." So although we have this headache for all these girls and all those in bondage and all those who persecuted because of Christ, we'd be rest assured that God is still in control. Joseph knew this and made the choices to offer God what our current series about, a vow to praise, and how the Lord covers us righteous suffer. And he loved the Lord. He endured these unpleasant circumstances. As our guest Consuela talked about today, he blessed immensely, maintained purity, understood the purpose, and really forgave those who sinned against him. Forgiveness is a huge part of this. And that tremendous faith really kind of moved him forward. So I want to boldly also alter and change Edmund Burke's quote from "All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing," to this: "All it takes for evil to triumph is for called men to do nothing." So when the Lord calls you, like he called my guest Consuela and all his servants, and even the servants that he gave 5 talents to, you are the remedy. You are the remedy. So in other words, get on cue with God's will. Get on cue with his calling on our lives and get others on cue with that calling. So that's our show for tonight. So before we go, I'd like to give thanks. I've asked all of you to like us on Facebook, like us on Cue Radio, put us on your prayer list, invite a friend to listen to the show, and even next week's show. Consider Cue Leadership as a training for your church or your home or your company. There are a few things I always have to give honor and praise to the Master, to Jesus Christ, our Savior himself. And thank those who tuned in, my special guest, Consuela Hall of Remedy International, producer assistant, my 16-year-old Kennedy, my better half, my best friend, my wife, Ty, and my youngest princess, Carson, my mom, my family, sisters and brothers, mother-in-law, friends, and Facebook and in life. Dedicate this show to the 300 girls and families who suffered this tragedy last month. If you'd like to be a sponsor, feel free to please email us at onq@qleadership.com. This has been On Q. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are
you lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
About heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. With their power, their position is make sure their community comes alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.